produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello and welcome to The Living Room. I am your host, Juliette Davis, and I'm excited to have you with us today. I am always grateful for the opportunity to talk to people who have overcome against the odds. I have to admit that I do have a soft spot in my heart for overcomers, and I think that their stories really have a way of inspiring us all to look at our obstacles and the challenges in our lives differently. And so if you are one of those people, I'm so glad you tuned in today, and you're going to find today's show very inspiring and very affirming, because I am literally going to be talking to an overcomer today. Before we start on today's show, I just want to let you guys know that I do receive your emails, so thanks so much for sending me the notes and letting me know how you are enjoying the broadcast. I want to encourage you to continue to do that. And as I always say, if there are topics that you're interested in learning about, or if there are things that you would like to suggest that we talk about in the living room, I welcome your input. You know, the living room is the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. And you get to come on in the living room today, because we're going to talk about what it means to be an overcomer. So I want to get right into it. My guest today is Danielle Jones, and she is a wife and a mother and a mentor. She's a graduate of Virginia Union University. Shout out to all the HBCU students and grads. She graduated in 2004 with a degree in biology. She actually, a couple of years into her career, recognized that she really had a passion for mental health, and so she switched careers, and she is now a mental health professional. And when I asked her why, she said because she loves to help people and to spread positivity. She is someone who has a smile on her face all the time. And when you hear her story, you will see how special that smile is. So without further ado, let me welcome Danielle Jones to the living room.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Okay, let's get started. When I met you, I was doing a story about makeovers, home makeovers. And I had seen you at church, you know, for quite some time, but I really didn't know your story. When I saw you, you were wearing a boot, I believe, on your foot, an orthopedic boot. And I remember, you know, how beautiful your smile is. And I also remember, of course, that I am 5'10", and I had to look up at you. And so that was always a treat for me, because I've always been told how tall I am. So when I get a chance to look up at another woman, it is a treat. And so one of the things that I didn't share in your bio, in your intro, is that you are a basketball Hall of Famer at Virginia Union University. You attended the school and played on the basketball team for 4 years on a full scholarship. And you know, love the game of basketball. And so once I met you and I saw, you know, how much taller you were than I was, then I said, well, I wonder, did she hurt her foot playing basketball? And then, of course, I learned of your tremendous story. So let's share with our listeners how that orthopedic boot came into being. I think we'll have to go back to 2008. So tell us what happened. 2008, you had just 4 years after graduating from Virginia Union, and I would imagine in your career field, learning who you were, getting your, you know, feet wet, if you will, in your career, and something very traumatic happened in 2008. Tell us about that.
Sure. 4 years, like she said, 4 years after I graduated, you know, I bought a home. I was purchased a home in Hopewell, Virginia, and I was so excited about doing so. And I moved in the area, and my whole goal was to, you know, build equity in the home. And I'm 20-something years old, and that was pretty much my mindset, was to build equity and, you know, move on. And so I moved my sister in, and my sister and I are about a year apart. So I moved her in, and, you know, we moved in the house together. And about, about 6 months later, December 27, 2008, is when my life changed tremendously. And so to bring everyone up to speed, I was in my home. It was 2 days after Christmas. I was leaving my parents' home, and I had my nephew, and he was 8 years old at the time. And we were preparing to go home, and I was going to get him ready for church the next day. And I went into the house, and it was 9 o'clock at night, and it was, you know, of course, dark, and locked the doors, did everything as normal. My sister, she wasn't there. She went out with her friends. And she went out with her friends, and, you know, we just, you know, ate dinner. And maybe like 5 minutes after that, I heard a knock on the door, and I'm thinking, what is going on? Who is at my door at 9 o'clock at night? So previously, when I got the home, the person who installed the alarm system told me that if any, you know, thing that happened to press the numbers right down the center. And I always remembered that. And so I felt very uneasy, you know, who is coming at my door at this time of night. So I went to the door, and I looked outside of the panel. You know, there's like a side panel on your door. And there were two guys standing at my door with their heads down. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And my stomach began to turn. And I said, this doesn't feel right. And so I asked them, you know, who are you? And they said, you know who this is. And I'm thinking, no, I don't. And so I felt very uneasy. I went to the alarm, and I pressed the silent code, and I told my nephew to get in the corner. And the two guys kicked the door in, ran behind me with the AR-15 machine gun, and chased me into the laundry room. And so I couldn't go out the back door because you have to have a key to unlock it. And I couldn't do that. So so basically I went into the laundry room, in the dark room, because I was like, what else am I going to do? And so they began to shoot up the house. Smoke was everywhere. The alarm was going off. And it was like a war zone. And I just I just couldn't believe it. And I felt one bullet hit me in my leg, and I felt the other one. And so when I felt like, you know, the coast was clear, I walked out of the laundry room, and the guys, they were gone. And I walked in the kitchen, and I found my nephew, and that's really who I wanted to see. And I found him, and I began to tell him that I love him, as blood was gushing out of both of my legs. And I just told him that I love him, and I told him what to do, to call the police. And he did that. And so I placed myself on the floor, and I found my phone, and I called my parents, and I told them, hey, I just got shot, and I love them, and I don't forget about me. And I just began to talk to them. And, you know, they were screaming, the phone hung up, and then they called me back, and I told them again. And to catch you up, 2 weeks prior to that, my father, he fell two stories from a building and fractured 3 vertebrae in his back. So it was a lot going on in our family during that time. So my mom was at home taking care of him, and I was in the house going through what I was going through. And so I began to lose my breath, and I just couldn't breathe. And, I placed myself on the floor, like I said, and I just began to pray. And I just asked God to, whatever I need to get right with him, to forgive me for anything. And I just started making things right. But one thing that I would say that held me here was I wanted to see my family become everything that I could imagine them becoming. Like, my family held me on this earth. Excuse me. And I just kept breathing and just kept taking it one step at a time. So the paramedics, they finally came, and they rushed me from Hopewell to MCV, and that was the beginning of my journey.
Wow. And so you had, obviously, the shock of this happening, you know, completely, you know, off guard as far as the gentleman at the door and what happened to them. I'm assuming, you know, that your family finally caught up with you, I guess, at the hospital. Your nephew was unharmed, and now you have to deal with the results of this random act. And so the shooting caused injuries where? In both your legs?
So the shooting caused injuries in both of my legs, but my left leg was hit very badly. Severed nerves in my left leg, and they had to hit my main artery, my femoral artery, and I bled out over half of my blood from the house to the hospital. So I ended up having to get a blood transfusion, but it ended up paralyzing my left leg.
Wow! And so you're 20. How old now? 20.
At that point, I'm 20. I'm not even 30. Yeah, I'm in my late 20s.
Okay. And so you're still, young. Your life's ahead of you. You are in recent college grad. You are in your career and all of these things, you know, that everyone would expect for a person your age to be happening. And then this random act occurs. And now you're having to deal with, you know, your leg being paralyzed. And let's not even, you know, forget about the trauma of experiencing this kind of situation. So by now, you know, the doctors have made an initial assessment. What was that assessment?
The initial assessment was all of my organs were failing at this point. And so when news spread and everyone got wind of what was going on, my church family gathered around, friends, loved ones gathered around in the lobby of the hospital and began to pray. And the doctors told them to pray because they didn't think that I was going to make it. My kidneys were failing. Everything was failing at that point. And I was on a, you know, ventilator, and, you know, and it just wasn't looking good.
Wow. And so you, of course, were able to garner the support of those who know the word and the worth of prayer, as we say. yes. to be able to intercede for you. And clearly the prayers worked and the favor of God was upon you yes. and your life was spared. And I want to talk about that from the standpoint of now you are in what I call recovery and rehabilitation. And mm-hmm. the injuries, you know, have caused severe damage to your leg. And so what was that road like? I mean, from the point in which they were able to cause your body to start to function again, your vital organs to start to function again, how long were you in the hospital?
The first time I was in a hospital for about a month and a half. And they just had to get everything working again, rehab, you know, physical therapy, walking, and my leg just felt very heavy, like it wasn't a part of me. My leg was the size of two legs because they had to cut both sides open to release all the fluid. It was just so much fluid.
My God. And so you're dealing with this for a month and a half, and then they release you to go mm-hmm. home. But I would imagine then you still had quite a bit of therapy at home or in a rehabilitation center, right? And
yes.
And then go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And so it sounds like to me that this is a ongoing situation. In other words, even in 2008 into 2009 by now, you realize that in order to save your leg, it's going to require a long process. And it sounded like it involved, you know, several therapies as well as surgeries. Is that right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. A lot of surgeries, a lot of therapy, a lot of going back and forth to the hospital, a lot of dealing with the trauma, the mental, you know, what it did on my mental state, you know, like people knocking on the door and I would jump and I would just get in a corner, you know, and just hold myself because I didn't know if it was going to happen again. And so that took a while to get through by being in the car, looking around, you know, the trauma associated with that was pretty real. And then learning how to walk again, I've had, honestly, I've had many infections. They call it, you know, I have cellulitis, osteomyelitis, and these things. Osteomyelitis goes to your bone, the infection, which they eventually had to amputate my pinky toe. Cellulitis is, you know, through your cells, and so if anything gets infected, it goes up and down. Your body can kill you. So I've had a lot of infections. I've had a PICC line put in my neck where I had to administer the antibiotics through my neck. I also had to file bankruptcy. I lost my home. I was, you know, living with my parents. I didn't really have two pennies to rub against each other. It was a very humbling time, a very trying time. Like, why did this happen to me? What does my life look like now? How do I overcome? How do I get up from this? I even speak on when they gave me the oxycodone, my mom and dad recognized that I was getting addicted to it. And that was the way it was like I was coping with it because I was alone. And I didn't realize I was getting addicted to that. And I would just take the medicine just to take it so I can just, you know, kind of feel better.
Wow. And so, okay, so let's pause for a moment. And let me say to our listeners, if you were just tuning in, I am talking to my guest, Danielle Jones, and we're talking about what it means to be an overcomer. When you think about the definition of an overcomer, you think about someone who has, you know, succeeded against the odds, against the adversity that they face. And Danielle, for me, and I'm certain by now for you, is someone who absolutely is a great representation of what it means to be an overcomer. And so, Danielle, we are now in 2021, so this situation happened 13 years ago, and you've given us just a sampling of some of the things that you have gone through, both mentally and physically. And I want to talk about, for the remainder of the time that we have together, how God has turned this tragedy into triumph. For instance, one of the things that I didn't mention, but I remember now, is that when this incident occurred in 2008, you were married. And so you had that situation to deal with. And so talk to us now about how some of the things that you went through, how you began to turn the corner from the tragedy into triumph. And you can start with talking about, you know, just the condition of your life, which you alluded to before we interrupted, talking about not having two pennies to rub together. And then relationally, you know, how that corner, you began to turn that corner. Let's start there.
So when the accident happened, I just gotten a divorce from my first marriage. And that was already something that I had to overcome and get through, because going through that and, you know, just getting through that alone took my breath away. And I just couldn't breathe. I felt like, what's the use of being here? What's the use of being, you know, it was embarrassing. It was humiliating. Like, you know, I come from a two-parent household. Like, how can I be divorced? Like, what is going, you know? So many things were going through me. So I, you know, once we got a, you know, divorced, I was like, okay, I can't stop here. I got to keep going. And so I ended up, you know, of course, buying the home and just started just moving on with life. And the accident, you know, of course, the accident happened. So the relational part and all that was just a whole lot to get through. And my current husband now, he was the one that helped encourage me through the process. He was my college sweetheart, my first love. And I kind of, my first marriage was sort of a rebound, because he wanted to experience life, and he didn't want to be tied down to just one person. And that's pretty much what happened. I laugh now because I'm like, wow, you know, the things that young people do and the things that we put ourselves through and we don't necessarily have to.
Right.
So, yeah, that relationship situation and just going through that. And I just felt like I couldn't breathe. And it was a situation after a situation that happened. And could you repeat that question again?
I was just saying that how you were able to, you know, turn that corner relationally. So here, you know, the state that you were in when the incident occurred, you said you were recently divorced and you had just bought a home. And so now the circumstances related to, you know, your being at your parents' house financially was stressful, but it also had an emotional piece of it too. So then it reconnected you, it sounded like, to your high school sweetheart, who was like your best friend. And that in turn developed into what?
That in turn developed into love, passion, and us, you know, eventually getting married. And I will have to say, what helped me overcome and getting through this situation is my foundation in Christ. I had to go back to what I knew. What I knew was Christ, and what I knew was he could get me through anything. And what I knew was I had purpose. What I also knew is there's more in me, and everything that I have gone through, it wasn't just for me. It was to help someone else. Like, I'm here today. I walk around encouraging and loving. It wasn't just for me, but he allowed me to go through it for a reason. And more that every day that I live on, I found out more and more why I'm here. There's a purpose. There's a multitude of people that need to hear that they can overcome and that they can get through. And so I just got into the Word. The Word of God, and I just read and I just prayed. I didn't give up. I had moments where I wanted to, but I had a community of people to hold me up. And I think oftentimes people are like, I did this by myself. And I can't sit here and say that I did this by myself. I would never say that. There were tears that I cried. There were times that I wanted to give up. I wanted them to cut my leg off, because going through this every single day, And if you've never been through it, it's very discouraging at times. So you have to find out what your foundation is in Christ, and you have to lean on him. And that's what I did. I just said, no, you're not giving up. You're going to keep going. And I had pushing me. They're basically coaches. No, you're not going to give up. Wipe your tears away. And they did that. Mothers, fathers, husbands, children, words that I would just hold on to. And I wouldn't be by myself. I will always be around people who would motivate me and inspire me. And, it's very dangerous to be by yourself, that battlefield alone, because that's when Satan just eats you up. So I would be around positive people, and I would just keep myself occupied. And I was on, I was on crutches for 5 years. I there's so many things that I've been through that it would take a person out. But I just held on to, if God didn't allow me to die then, there was purpose in me. There was a reason why. There was a reason why he kept me there. Kept me here. And so that's what I held on to. And the other thing I held on to is, why walk around with a sad face? Why walk around down? Because you should have died. You might as well have died when that situation happened. So I think about that often. I'm like, I'm not going to walk around and poison other people. I'm going to be happy because I got another opportunity in so many areas of my life. Yeah. And so that's why I live the way I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And so if you're listening today and you felt like, life was becoming too much for you, or you felt like, giving up, listen to the words that are coming from the pages of her life. Danielle is talking about what it took for her to be able to take that tragedy and walk into triumph. And her faith, God's ability to remind her of how she is blessed, and the gratefulness that she has in her heart for having another opportunity at life, is what keeps her going. And the fact that she surrounds herself with people who can also encourage her. That's a powerful lesson in terms of how you are able to overcome. It's the company that you keep. It's the faith that you have. It's your willingness to put in the work, because she has to do a lot of work to keep her leg in a certain condition. And even now, as we speak, she is scheduled to have surgery on later this week, for being able to continue to work on her vascular system and help repair the nerve damage. And so these are things that she is talking about that she's going through now, 13 years later. So I just wanted to put that out there in very plain terms for our listeners, to remind them of the fact that there is an overcomer in them, just like you discovered that there was an overcomer in you.
Yes, absolutely.
So I want our listeners to be able to reach out to you. You'll be with us for our next segment. One of the things that we didn't get a chance to talk about that I'll touch on briefly is that Danielle is not only married now to her high school sweetheart, but she is also the mother of two adorable sons who together wrote a book entitled I've Got Your Back. And so in our next segment, we're going to talk about this awesome book that has been released and what it will do for young people and what it will do for parents. And so I can't wait to get into that conversation. But quickly before we go, tell us how we might be able to reach out to you if there are those out there who would like to contact you or to follow you on social media. Tell us how we might be able to do that.
Absolutely. On Facebook, it's Danielle Jones. Email is rebound to win, the number 2, WIN at gmail.com. And that's pretty much where I am. I'm still trying to explore the Instagram and all of those areas, but pretty much you can find me on Facebook, Danielle Jones, and you'll see information out there. Oh, and also I have a website for well, we'll get into that later with my books and everything, but Facebook is probably the main place you'll find me.
Great, great. Well, that's a place to start, and we have your email address, Rebound to Win. And so that will give us at least two opportunities to stay in touch with you and follow your story. So my living room guests, I hope that you were encouraged, inspired, and edified by today's show. That's always my deliverable to you, is to encourage and edify in every one of our broadcasts. And I am really, really excited, Danielle, to be able to just see how you are truly exemplifying the life of an overcomer. And I know that God has great plans in store for you. So thank you again for being on the show. Thank you to our listening audience for tuning in. Don't forget to email me at destinympower, EMPOWER@gmail.com. I'd love to continue to hear from you. And as I always say, because it's always true, the Word of God has transformation power. May His Word change your life forever.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.